Homie, don't play that. It's time for This Week in Mormons.
Do I hear James Carey from In Living Color?
I believe Homie, don't play that was Damon Wayans.
Do I hear a James Carey?
Marshal Bill.
You remember that's what he went by, right?
No,
In Living Color?
Oh, I knew In Living Color.
He was James Carey.
How are you?
I'm great. I went canyoneering. I was out in Utah this last weekend.
Yeah, that's why we don't have a show until Wednesday. Blame Al, everyone.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I texted Jeff. Or no, Jeff texted me. I finally got back within range. We weren't expecting to be out that long. I was anticipating being home or back there by Monday evening when we normally record our show. Instead, we got roped into another canyon and didn't get out until quite late. And I got a text from Jeff. I had to apologize 1,000 times, as I often do.
I hope you marry a very strong woman, and then you will come to realize that people don't put up with this kind of nonsense.
They do. They love it.
They don't. It makes people feel expendable and as if your time is more valuable than theirs.
See, here's what I don't understand, though, Jeff. Like, if you called me 10 minutes before and were like, hey, I got a jam. I'm not going to be able to be. I'd be like, hey, all right, let me know when it works. But you're like, it hurts me deep down where I'm soft and fleshy like a woman.
It's not that it hurts me. It's that it's rude. It's implied, hey, we're going to record this day, and then Mr. Man just disappears.
That's true. I do have a tendency to disappear.
But let's take
it was worth it. It was worth it because I canyoneered.
Let's take 2 weeks.
I was sailing.
I'm a sailor.
I'm a sailor now.
Ahoy.
It was very exciting. And so, anyway, it was great. We ended up doing a keyhole. And
yeah.
I stopped in Canaryville, which was very exciting for me because I'm a big fan of Elder Holland's talk where he breaks down near Canaryville. I didn't even know it was a real place. I thought it was a fictional tale, but it's true. I've seen Canaryville and hiked to the falls. Very lovely.
Blah, 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 blah.
How was your week?
It was fine, Al. I'm still mad at you, but it was fine. It's been fun.
You're perpetually mad at me, though, so it doesn't even bother
I
me.
I am not perpetually mad at you.
You're an angry person.
Because you're great to teach me parenting skills.
Jeff,
because I have to deal all the time with someone who perennially disappoints me and upsets me. And so if I have difficult children, I'm learning now how to cope with it. It's great.
Speaking of perpetually disappointing, how has your Mormon bachelor experience strengthened your dating relationship?
Okay, first off, she won't listen to this. So I get an email from Aaron Elton last night.
Yes.
Asking me about my experience. Here, you know what? Here, maybe I'll bring it up right here. About my whole Mobatch experience. Basically, it's a questionnaire. Aaron texted me last night and asked for my email address. And first of all, I was like, shouldn't you have had this 10 times by now? But anyway. So it's a quick thing. It says, after you appeared on the Mormon Bachelorette, did any girls contact you through Facebook that didn't know you before? If so, how many? Overall, how would you rate your appearance on the Mormon Bachelorette? I like that it's, overall, did you date more after your appearance on the Mormon Bachelorette? I don't know where I said
that. I love that she's suggesting that people would be like, hey, here's a guy who took a girl to Savers. I want more of that.
I know, right? Was my experience on Mobatch positive? Why or why not? I love this one. Do people that you do not know recognize you because of your appearance on the Mormon Bachelorette? How often does that happen?
Not at all.
All the time.
Here's the thing.
It's actually happened a couple of times.
People actually have contacted you, though, but they contact you because they like the fact that you're mocking the Mormon Bachelorette.
Yes, that is the beauty of it, and that's what I'm going to put in my answer. I will say no.
Now, here's the thing. We like the Mormon Bachelorette. We enjoy the drama as much as the next person.
But
there is
no drama. There's no drama.
We try and push them to new heights, and they resist. They're like that middle schooler who won't play football.
Because
we're the parents.
Because Mo Batch's biggest problem, of course, is that it is some sort of legitimate effort to have people find love. And the whole reason people actually watch The Bachelor is for the drama and the craziness of it. And we don't get any of that. And
so
judging
true.
By the crop of men who have been sending in application videos.
Phenomenal.
I have a feeling a third time will not be the charm for the map for the Mormon Bachelor.
It does look a little bit sketchy. The crop looks a little sketchy.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. There are some just terrible, terrible looking people. Not just looking. Sorry, not, I don't mean physically. I just mean based on their videos. The
Jeff
whole
is insecure about his own. He has body image issues.
They're so attractive. I hate them for it. But it might be a rough season. If none of you have... here's an example. Kevin Beckstrom, I hope you're listening. Everyone, if you want to see how terrible these are, go to the Mormon Bachelorette's website and watch it. And now we've given them traffic.
See, boom. Here's the fun thing, too. I was in Utah this last week, went to church. Up on the stand is a brother and sister Beckstrom. And I was like, no.
He lives in Oregon, dude.
This couldn't be so perfect. It wasn't him. I was really excited, though. I almost took a picture of the program and sent it to you.
Or you almost walked right up to him and you were like, no!
You fatherless child.
You should have just asked him, like people always do in the church. Hey, so are you related to so-and-so?
I thought about it. He was actually the institute director, and he was there... He was there giving him and his wife were giving a talk. They were the speakers for the meeting, but he was terrible. And so I was going to go and, you know, how you can normally be like, hey,
you figured he had to be related to Kevin Beckstrom.
No, well, normally you can be like, hey, I enjoyed your talk, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I can't say that at all. There's no lead in for me. I can't talk to this man.
I'm sorry for your suffering.
I apologize. But, good times, good times. So, quite the week in Mormondom.
I suppose so. Wonderful things happening all around. The one thing I worry about with the political season heating up is that there are going to be tons of just similar stories.
You know, that's one thing I've noticed in reporting on Mormon news is like the Book of Mormon musical comes along. And then it goes and goes and goes.
It's just,
and then,
it's just
and,
redundant.
And then 2.5 months later, the Mormon Times picks it up like they did at the Book of Mormon musical. This week, the Book of Mormon musical finally hit the Mormon Times. And
yes,
then it just keeps going. I mean, that is one thing about Mormon stories. It makes this little ripple into the news stuff. And if you report it right when it comes out, then you're like, well, shoot. We got more Glenn Beck this week. Well, Glenn Beck's still in the news.
There's not been enough Glenn Beck of late.
Never is. There never is.
I'll be your candle on the water.
Okay. You're right, though, with the political stuff. I mean, I can't... Well, and what's really silly is the questions don't get any more interesting, right? Everybody asks Huntsman and Romney the exact same questions. This week, for example, ABC did a piece, a little video piece called The Mormon Moment, in which they ask Romney and Huntsman, what will being Mormon hurt you? 1 out of 4 Americans say they're less likely to vote for a Mormon. And then they give the answer that they've given 1,000 times before.
Well, yes and no. The thing was, they could tell. I don't even think they were able to interview Mitt. They clearly sat down with Huntsman for this, but because all they showed for Mitt was that appearance he had on Piers Morgan a couple weeks ago. Mitt has a problem in that he's very defensive about the church.
Well, he's taken the other angle, right? Like his last campaign, where he spent some $60 million on it and it failed miserably. He was trying to be more proactive about it and address it head on and talk about it. It didn't work at all for him. But you made a good point. You should go watch this video, people. But you made a good point, Jeff, where Huntsman was asked about it. You know, is being Mormon going to hurt your chances or whatever? And Huntsman, he's kind of more of a, I don't know, he's less worried about it. And so he just gives a very frank answer. Here's, no, I don't think it'll be a problem. I think people are going to vote the way they're going to vote. Which he's very confident in it, but if you look back at the last campaign Romney ran, he did the exact same thing, and it did not work.
Well, I don't think Romney did the exact same thing. I think right now Romney is trying to be very much like just not...
No, not right now. Look back at the last campaign,
no,
though.
That's what
he,
I mean.
That was how he answered.
No, because I feel like 4 years ago, instead, he was answering all the time. He was desperately trying to appeal. He was trying to be Mr. Religious the last time around. He was trying to show how Christian he was. yeah. all the time. He was not just going to be like, it doesn't matter in the end. I'm just running for Huntsman. Huntsman just handles things much more coolly.
Huntsman's biggest problem though is obviously going to be his website.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a rough website.
There's no getting by this.
I want
to describe it for us.
Okay, I never bothered going, but Joanna Brooks wrote an article last week, and it had a lot of points, but the part I loved was when she kind of analyzed aspects of John Huntsman's website. So you go to john2012.com, and it takes you to...
John, J-O-N.
Yes. Yeah. By the way, did you see that story? You know how he had his announcement last week in front, you know, over there at Liberty Park in Jersey and all that stuff?
Yeah.
To kick off his campaign. So they showed the press credentials, and they had the logo, you know, John 2012. And then right underneath it, they spelled John Huntsman with an H, like incorrectly, like his own people.
Oh.
It's bad. So anyway, you go to this all-white webpage to start off. It's sort of the entry page, and it just I think it shuffles videos around. And this one shows...
it does the same video in the beginning.
Does it all the time? No, I think it changed it. Before, it used to have him riding a bike through, like, Monument Valley.
Oh, maybe it's whatever commercial
like
is.
So I don't know if it rotates or not.
Dude, what if this might be another commercial of his?
I don't know. But the point is, it shows him just speaking Chinese to a bunch of kids, and then afterwards they interview the kids, and the kids marvel at how well he speaks Chinese. And I'm grateful that he speaks Chinese, but I don't get it. Am I supposed to look at this if I'm visiting his site and just say, like, dude...
It was...
I want a president who speaks Chinese so well.
It was really good. He speaks with really good accent.
Yeah, it's very random. And then you go to his site itself, and it says, at last, in red and white, so I feel like I'm going to a website for Canada. I mean, seriously, I do. Like, look at the aesthetic, the red bars on the side.
No, and then once you click all the way in, the logo up at the top, that does. That totally looks Canada.
Well, because it's an H, I get it, but, yeah, I feel like he's running for Prime Minister of Canada. And then an awkward webpage, but it's kind of fun. There's pictures of people, kind of a pastiche making of the United States. But it's just weird. Then the way it's laid out, I think this is still bad. Like, a conservative, a president who's approving, it's just, I don't get it.
Oh,
and
Huntsman.
What else is even on here? That's the thing. There's no information. These this photos is pop up.
No. So go to skip sign in over in the bottom right.
Aha. Do we actually get substance? Okay, this is a little bit better.
No, that is the problem, though. So John Huntsman he's bizarre. His campaign tactics are odd.
I like that
people
one.
Like Obama. Obama ran a brilliant campaign because he did all his stuff was very well designed. Very well laid out. It's done well. Huntsman is going for like the contra minimalist design out of London right now by some random design people that are doing a terrible job.
Is that something that's real? The contra minimalist design out of London? Is that what's...
Well, a lot of designers out of the UK have this like minimalist theme that they go with, which often is very good, right? Like often it's refreshing. But for a candidate who's trying to get information out there, less isn't always more. Sometimes you need a little.
It's so austere, I almost expect there to be a PayPal button if I want to donate.
Yeah, you kind of do.
I mean, it's not really Mormon news, but since John Huntsman is allegedly a Mormon on some level, I couldn't help but marvel at his website. Just wow.
Good for you. Oh, I do like...
Huntsman's a Manchurian candidate, put forth by Canada. That's what I've come up to.
We got to get this on the news. I do like click over on John on the top left.
I closed his page. Hold on.
I closed his
page, and now I have to go through like four steps to get back to where it was. At last, Canada. Thank you. And then
he's got a great little timeline. I like it. I like the
timeline. See, I want to make a resume like that.
I will do it for you. Anyway. That's a good time. So, yeah, get ready for more politics, people. It's coming around.
We're sorry. And we both like them, so you're stuck with it. It's just how it's going to be.
It's true.
In other news, well, sort of dealing with politics, and this isn't anything new necessarily, but it's just a reinforcement of policy, I think. But the church sent out a little memorandum to its senior leadership, basically all of the general authorities, is my understanding. To remind them that they are not allowed to participate in political campaigns as far as promoting candidates, fundraising, speaking on behalf of or otherwise endorsing candidates, and making financial contributions. And so the thing is, the church, of course, lets people act on their own when they're not. But I think this letter is actually saying that if you are a general authority, like, tough caboodle, like, you cannot, you can vote, but beyond that, you cannot be out there doing anything with any of your time for.
Which is actually kind of interesting. So if I understand correctly, like a stake president or a bishop, that's totally fine. Because
yeah, it says right here that full-time church employees and part-time leaders, such as those who hold local or regional offices, you know, are exempt from the policy.
Well, because if you look historically, though, you had Ezra Taft Benson, who served as Secretary of Agriculture while he was still a general authority. You had Neil A. Maxwell, who didn't he almost go in for... He was going to be governor or something, or he was for a little. I don't remember.
Are you thinking Maxwell?
Maxwell was good.
Oaks was on the Supreme Court when they.
I'm trying to remember the history, but Maxwell was, I guess, really good friends with a couple of the guys, and he would go in and like counsel some of the state leadership, and they were constantly like worried that he was going to run because he had such a following. It was so articulate that he. Like, he just argues well.
Well, yeah.
I don't remember, but, like, he did some stuff with the state governments, and people had, like, weird feedback for that. I'm just trying to, like, I'm thinking of all, historically, there's been a lot of good done by participating in public office while they've served as general authorities.
Yeah. So I'm guessing perhaps those days are behind us. That's true when you think about it. It is funny. I mean, obviously, you know, we weren't alive. And most of our listeners, I doubt, remember any of it, given our demographic listening base. But I would love to hear from anybody who remembers the Benson tenure as Secretary of Agriculture in the Eisenhower administration. It's just funny, yeah, because you've got an apostle and then who's an open Republican serving politically at the same time. It is interesting when you think about it.
It's like, vote for me.
You don't vote for those. Well, they're appointed.
Well, I like the fact that this kind of takes out... especially with like a Huntsman and Romney type thing, as Mormon becomes more mainstream so far as politics go, once one is elected and things go fine, people are going to understand that it's not that big of a deal. And I think that there could be a lot of that draw for a lot of people to go, you know, especially like successful, you know, general authority type. I would see them as kind of the personality type that would bridge over and say, well, now I'm going to run for office. I got nothing better to do. Why not?
That's the hilarious thing with Huntsman. When you watch Huntsman speak, he has the cadence of a general authority.
What is that cadence?
Just, you know, just I can't even explain it. It's better experienced.
I feel like it's kind of a Kennedy cadence. You people.
Yeah, you know, he's not all awkward like Mitt.
Anyway. Oh, poor Mitt. We love him.
We do. We should get him on the show sometime. You know him.
I'll put a call in.
Yeah, we should. Wouldn't that be hilarious if we were ever able to do that?
That actually would be funny. Oh, so I kind of felt bad. I was thinking about it this last week. He's not a good friend, but he's a good person who is a friend. I just don't know him exceptionally well, but we've hung out before. Is Ryan Hamilton, who is a very funny comedian up in New York, who's a single guy. He's in the single scene up there. Was recently on Conan O'Brien. And we did not give him any love. I realize this because his Conan skit is very funny. He does a really good job, actually. It's kind of joking about his dating life with hot air balloons and the like. So kind of keep an eye on him. He's very Brian Regan-esque if you see him live. But the guy does good stuff. I think he's out in Utah about the same time as Jenna, actually. He's doing Wise Guys comedy out there.
Ah.
The night before Jenna. So you can do the combo. These are good people to go see. You'll laugh, I promise. But check out... Actually, maybe, Jeff, maybe here we could put in a little clip of Mr. Ryan Hamilton. Right. I like him. I think he's great.
Right.
So, here. Boop.
Okay.
Not really. You don't have to. I mean,
maybe.
It's just an idea.
I don't know.
It could be funnier now with it out.
I like it better. He's from Idaho.
He is from Idaho. Well, it's,
no one
it's
knows
actually,
how to react to being from Idaho.
It's actually funny to talk to him because comedy, I don't know, man. It's got to be tough to run that circuit and still be a good, well, like just date even. I know I used to do consulting And it was so odd because consulting is a lifestyle where you fly out at 5 a.m. on Monday, fly home Thursday night at midnight, work from home Friday, Saturday, Sunday, book your tickets, and do it again the next week. And so you'd meet somebody, like in Pittsburgh, right? And you're like, hey, you're cute. We should go out again in 5 weeks. I'll be back here. And so it's got to be a lot of the same stuff, right? He's flying all over the place doing different clubs here and there. And so you meet somebody, and it's like, well, you're in Toledo. I'll be here again in a year and a half. I'm sorry.
I'm so sorry that your successful business career makes it difficult for you to meet someone. I'm so sorry.
Ryan Hamilton, I'm sorry.
The world feels so badly for you.
In other news,
you're a victim of the career you've chosen. You poor thing.
I've left that career now so that I can date more. It's exciting.
In Missouri.
It's a terrible move. So, Richard Bushman, who is a very... he wrote the... What was the Joseph Smith... I forget what the book was called. What was this book he wrote?
Rough Stone Rolling?
Yes, that's the one. So, he's interviewed by CNN, kind of around the Book of Mormon musical, which I like because he's a very articulate man. He's a smart dude. And he gives the quote, "The Book of Mormon is like looking into a funhouse mirror. The reflection is hilarious, but it's not really you." And then he goes, like, they kind of go right at him with some of the lyrics out of songs that actually have been kind of I've found myself avoiding, right? Like, they give the lyric, "I believe that God has a plan for us. I believe that plan involves me getting my own planet," which is a lyric in the Book of Mormon musical. And they say, is that lyric based on a Mormon belief? And he just kind of explains it. He says, well, you know, that's kind of lore more than doctrine. It's not something that's taught over the pulpit per se. But it makes sense that we believe that we'll become like our God, or like God, who is our Heavenly Father. So we become like our Heavenly Father. And, you know, it leads one to speculate about the powers of creation.
Actually, there's one great paragraph where he explains that, and I like the language enough that I would like to read it to the class.
As you will, Jeff.
He says, quote, "Mormons do believe in the principle of theosis, the doctrine that God wants humans to become like himself, in effect gods. That belief leads Mormons to speculate about creation. Will beings with godlike qualities have the powers to form earths? Perhaps, who knows?" I think that's a great way to sum it up.
Well, and so they give him a lot of these questions. I really liked the interview. I thought it was well done. And so if you're interested in that at all, or if you're getting questions around that, it might be a worthwhile read. Something to send around.
I love it. I just want to read this now for the rest of the show.
I thought you already read it.
Parts of it.
Okay.
Anyways, yeah, read Richard Bushman. He's amazing. I'm having a fun time here. I just want to go through these, like our own Q&A. I think people should do a Q&A for us.
What questions would they ask us, Jeff?
Things that would get us into trouble, probably.
Like, have you dated that you have podcast? Have women reached out to you on Facebook?
The women reached out to me on Facebook because of the throwdowns mocking the Mormon Bachelor. And that's truth. They did.
Amen. Amen.
Women who were bachelorettes on that show found me and emailed me.
Women are vicious. Women are vicious.
That is how I have the friends I have today.
I believe that to be true.
So let's talk about baseball.
Okay.
I love baseball. It's a wonderful sport. And like any sport, there's a temptation, or like any great opportunity, there's a temptation to forego missions and church things because of, you know, the prospect of great, beautiful, dreamy money.
Women?
Success. Et cetera, et cetera. So, anyway, this is a story about a fella named Cale Long.
I love Cale.
Or, you know, not Cale Long. Cale Iorg.
Even better.
I don't know what that last name is from, but I like it, and I want it. It's just a nice story. It's from the Mormon Times. It's a very pleasant, you know, kind of just fluff piece all about how this guy was going to be drafted for baseball by the Tampa Bay Rays.
Then what happened?
And they even offered him a signing bonus and said he could go on his mission, but he turned them down.
I like this. I hope this... Well, so one of the things that he says in here, I think Jeff is reading it for the first time at this very moment.
That's not true. This is at least the first and a half.
Anyway, he says that he has trouble understanding or relating to people who are, you know, who use the excuse, "Oh, I'll serve a mission later," or "It's not for me," yada yada yada. He's like, it was one of the greatest things I've ever done. You know, I just don't fathom why people would shortchange that. And I hope that this is becoming a theme. We had the missionary or the kid down in New Zealand who forewent the rugby stuff to do this. We have this guy. I mean, a couple more examples like this. I honestly, like, even Jimmer, I think we let these guys, well, it's not that we're to hold them responsible, but like, they let themselves off the hook by playing around with these excuses and talking themselves into this idea that somehow making a lot of money and being popular is going to somehow supplant the work that a mission does. Which, you know, and in all honesty, a mission is less for the, like they always say, right? It's less for the people than it is for you. You get out there and it does more for you than it does for anybody.
I agree with everything you've said.
I like it. You should do that all the time. And then our marriage would be fine.
Oh, look at all these great pictures of him. And he served his mission in Portugal, which is, very strong. I support anything in Iberia.
Thinking of cool sporting things, here's Olalemi Lenny Adese Adokalene. He's 13, a deacon in the Ajodu ward in Nigeria, who is now the national chess champion for Nigeria. Also Mormon. Go sports.
Go chess.
I am donning chess a sport. Absolutely.
I disagree with you. Chess is a game. Is Scrabble a sport?
It could be. If you had to play it while knives were being thrown at you.
Well, that could be fun.
I think that's...
Death Scrabble.
It's like, I need to put this A down, but I can't get to the board right now.
Yeah. So, in the spirit, of course, now, there's good reason, I think, that Mr. Iorg, that he didn't go to Tampa. Because Tampa Bay Online has a very silly article. Clearly, this is why one would not want to be affiliated with the Rays. Also, Evan Longoria, who would want to play with him. But, anyway, it's kind of going back to the Mormon moment thing. I don't want to talk as much about the Mormon moment. I want to talk about what the Tampa Bay Online, whom they call Mormons in culture. Just as
do they identify as the cultural?
So these are the important Mormons in culture. Ready? Mitt Romney and John Huntsman Jr., who are wrapped into one. In
cultural icons. Yeah.
Glenn Beck.
Cultural, sure.
Then right here it just says the Book of Mormon. But they mean the musical, not the actual Holy Writ. So, go figure. And then, Big Love.
Okay. Not Mormon, but
Donnie
sure.
Donnie and Marie Osmond.
All right, from back in the day. Sure, I guess if you're 50.
And now we're really going for the B-list. Bentley Williams.
Oh, the popular
from the Bachelorette.
Schmuck. Yes, I remember.
And then, Stephanie Meyer, the author of the Twilight series. Those, my friends, that is your list of Mormons in culture. That's it. Those are the only ones.
No one else we can think of?
No.
There's no Jenna Kim Jones on there?
There's no Brandon Flowers of Killers?
There's no Stephen Young? There's no...
Of football fame? There's no Wally Joyner?
There's no Dale Murphy of baseball fame?
No. I'm sorry.
There is no Orson Scott Card, a better author than Stephanie Meyer, in my opinion.
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
That guy's written some good stuff.
I've heard it.
Who isn't a better author than Stephanie Meyer? But that's a whole other discussion.
Right here. Guilty.
So I just want to thank Tampa Bay Online for providing us with... Really, their version of Mormons in culture is that they couldn't look farther back than a year and a half ago, and this is what they've come
up with. Yeah, when you got to go to Bentley, you know you got some problems. It's like, what other Mormons we got? We got a musical, sure, we'll call that a person. And what else is that? That guy on The Bachelorette?
I'm trying to see what the comments are on here. Boring, boring, boring.
Dude, you want to know what's awesome? Like, awesome beyond belief awesome.
Do tell. Tell me.
Is. There's a documentary being made about a great story that I didn't know existed.
Oh, we're jumping to this already.
I love this. And that is why we're going here. All right, so hold on. Let me get her first name. Old Joyce McKinney.
Yeah, you love her.
I do love her. In 1977. So let me give you the rundown of the story here. And then we can talk about what's happening with it. Joyce McKinney, a former Wyoming beauty queen, which, poor Wyoming. I bet there's some states that just wish that they didn't have to have a beauty contest. You know? Like North Dakota. They're just like...
Wyoming shouldn't even exist.
Well, Wyoming's lovely because it's empty. They're not...
I mean, how is it a state? It should just be absorbed by Montana.
Boy, that would be a monster.
Right?
And then all the roads could be speedy roads. Yeah. I'm down. So anyway, this Wyoming beauty queen and BYU co-ed is charged in England for abducting a missionary, a Mormon missionary, and allegedly tying him to a bed in a hotel room and forcing him to have sex with her.
Stop.
Now, first off, that's every, well, not a more, not when you're a missionary, that
don't say what you're
when
about
you're a missionary
say.
That's not the dream, but like that's the only yeah. hope a Mormon teenager just, has, right? I mean, that's everybody's dream that this happens. It doesn't really happen, I don't think.
I am disavowing myself.
Do you disagree? I mean, we've had this discussion at scout camp. It was just like, what would it be like?
I'm not going to sit here and say that every missionary.
No, not missionary. Not missionary.
Forced.
But I'm just saying.
Every kid's dream. Why? So it's your dream because then you can claim that it wasn't.
Exactly.
Against your
it's
volition.
The only. It's the,
but it's your dream, you
it's
idiot.
The only
it's
acceptable
your dream.
Out. You're like, Bishop, I'm sorry. I was tied up. You can't tell me this has not crossed your mind. Jeff, I'm just being honest here. This is
lots of things.
Once you're a missionary, you've got incentive for this not to happen, right? Because you're like, oh, it would ruin me. It would really play with the psyche. But
so once you're a missionary, you have incentive to not let a woman tie you up and have her way with you.
Exactly.
Only once you're a missionary do you have that incentive. Before that,
it's
no.
True. It's true. You're not- hoping. You're like, what if I was sleeping and then she killed me? I don't know. Maybe I'm.
So are you basically trying to argue that like those number of I forget their names, but like the Hummer mom and that chick in Arizona.
No, that was all consensual. Like they weren't forced.
So are you saying that shouldn't be a problem?
No, that is
because
that
those
is a problem.
Poor men were not victims because secretly they wanted it.
Now I know. All right, let me be a little bit more serious and make sure.
Let
I'm
me
saying
ask you, how's the
mean?
Corner you've painted yourself into, Al? How's it looking?
It looks
over there?
Bad. So I know some people disagree with this.
Just go on to the story.
Now, wait. Okay, I think I will. I'm just going to go on. So she ties up a missionary. A beauty queen ties up a missionary and has sex with him. And then, here's the great part. She runs. She takes to the road. She makes bail and runs away. And so then she's a fugitive, hunted for years. And so they made a documentary about her, which I think is great. I'm excited to see this because I've never even heard of this story. And that's a great story. That's like a good action flick. She's on the road. I mean, it's pretty much like the Bourne. She's Jason Bourne, but of a sexual nature. Get excited, America. Here's the even better, though. So they had a screening held in New York. Where they let old Joyce take the stage and talk, to do a little Q&A and an intro. And much to the chagrin, as they write, much to the chagrin of the evening's moderator and director, Errol Morris, she took over the microphone and dominated the stage for more than 10 minutes, claiming the movie was wrong and missed the real story, that McKinney was the victim of a LDS church conspiracy. And before she dies, she hopes the story of the Mormon drama is told. So that would have been entertaining to see. It makes me wish I lived in New York still. And I also like that they work in the detail. She was accompanied by a dog when she took the stage.
Maybe she's blind.
You're a jerk, Jeff. You're a jerk. Maybe she's a little bit LA. That's what we're saying. So there needs to be a book or something.
This is you're very excited. You want to see.
No, here's what I love Mormon lore, right? I love like the stories that have happened in our history. Like there needs to be a book somewhere of all the great drama. Like the guy, you remember the guy that attempted to assault a girl in the laundry room at his BYU dorm and then claimed that it was a prank?
Oh yeah, man, that was like forever ago when we first started doing
like these
show.
Need
yeah.
to be written down, compiled in some sort of a book so I can flip through them on my coffee table and be like, oh my gosh, you want to talk about crazy, look at this.
I wonder what happened to that kid. We should do a Where Are They Now segment.
call him up. Like, hi, hello. We're from This Week in Mormons. Where are you now? Have you gone back to college?
No, just ask him.
Where
are you now? Are you at Mason?
Obviously BYU kicked you out. How is UVU?
Yeah.
Hey-o.
That's for all you UVU people. Ha!
UVU is so expensive. I don't get that school.
Well, I went to Harvard, so I don't know about any of these people.
Harvard.
I did. Oh, hey, a real quick pleasant mention on a lighter note.
I like that note. I thought that was a great story. I was excited to find this.
You've been very excited. So real quick, go to templeshuttle.org if you live in the DC area. Okay, sorry for everyone else.
Let's see, for 99% of our listeners, this doesn't apply.
Do you
to
know
you.
How hard
for
I have
Jeff,
worked to expand our DC presence?
Jeff, take us there.
I've worked hard. Point is, if you don't want to drive to the temple, those of you especially in Virginia where driving there can blow, there's a whole nonprofit thing that started called Temple Shuttle. It's a free thing run through philanthropy or what have you, and you can take a free shuttle from the Forest Glen Metro stop to the DC Temple.
So you take the red line all the way out to Timbuktu.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually, that wasn't a bad walk. It was probably a 15-minute walk before. Do you feel the need for a shuttle?
It's a bit of a decent walk from the metro. The temple kind of sits between the two spears of the red line. So anyway, I think this is great. And when I stumbled upon this, if you're in the DC area, if you don't like going to the temple or you have a hard time going because of traffic, you can go to templeshuttle.org and find out when you can take the metro there and take a free shuttle to get there and back. That's all. All
right, so I'm going to talk about This Land Is Your Land in Canada. The Mormon Tabernacle
Choir. But that's mine!
They're all yours. All the mentions are yours.
You monster.
So, so the Mormon Tabernacle Choir goes on tour in the East, and they go up to Canada and sing This Land Is Your Land.
And President Monson was there, undoubtedly strolling his park beforehand.
Yeah, I still love that he gets Thomas S. Monson Park. So I was talking to some buddies up in Toronto, though, and I guess there was a little bit of drama that he let a park be named after him.
Why?
Thanks for asking, Jeff. Well, so...
You're welcome.
Not really. I don't have any story on this, but like, I guess it was just a little bit... Some people find it a little bit weird. It'd be like if they built a statue to you while you were living and named it after you. It's like, all right, well, that's cool, but it's a little bit ego driven maybe. So I guess there was a little
anyway,
bit of,
get,
there was,
get to the
no,
point.
No, listen. So there's a little bit of that sentiment back in the day. Not a big deal. I don't have a problem with it. I kind of like it because it's
sure.
I mean, we got a Joseph Smith parks and stuff. Brigham Young peaks and whatnot. Why not have Thomas S. Monson?
I agree.
Jeff, are you mad at me?
No, just do the story.
That was the story. That's it.
Al missed the whole point. The whole point of the story was they sing for President Monson, but then they sing their encore piece is "This Land Is Your Land." And so unless they change the lyrics, they're sitting there singing about the Redwood Forests to the Gulf Stream Islands or whatever they say, and they're doing all of this
Gulf
in Canada.
Gulf Stream Waters.
Thank you. That's the word I knew I wanted. And they're sitting here singing about this in Canada, where all you can sing about is from the frozen tundra to the frozen tundra, Anna of Green Gables is my friend.
That's not true. From British Columbia to the Badlands of...
of what? Saskatchewan? The rough and tumble countryside of Saskatchewan?
No, I'm trying to think of what province is north of North Dakota. And then
that is Saskatchewan.
That's the ticket to the tundra shore of
what,
the Northern Territories. Yes, that is the tundra.
From Baffin Island to Nova Scotia.
I bet my goal in life is to get a listener in Yellowknife, Canada.
Yeah. I'd love to get that.
And then you go all the way out to the east where sure, Prince Edward Island, Nova Scotia, all these lovely lands. I think there's plenty to sing about in Canada.
It's true. All right. Come on.
Mainly the Calgary Stampede. Okay.
And pluralism. They're very good at that, though.
Do you want me to do your next story, too? Because
actually,
I just
the funny
did the
thing
last
is,
one.
This land is your land is almost more apropos for Canada now than it is in the U.S. Canada is a very welcoming place to visitors and immigrants.
Except for the Gulf Stream waters.
The U.S., not so much anymore. So I think, actually, we need to bequeath This Land Is Your Land unto Canada.
You love bequeath.
They should give it to them.
That is your favorite word.
Sure, that's my favorite word of all words.
Of all the words you have.
Actually, if you read my graduate school work, my favorite word is clearly nascent. Wildly overused. All right, Al, you're going to take us out now with your...
What was the other one?
Well, there's a couple here. For one thing, apparently they won't release the numbers, but
since
the Times Square campaign started...
That's right. So they say... So here's the quote they give. A significant increase in traffic to the Mormon.org website... It's working, apparently, which is great.
It's working.
And by it, I mean the I'm a Mormon campaign. And there's a whole article in the Deseret News where they talk about how it's kind of a brilliant PR strategy of just taking people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, bringing them to the front and saying, "No, I'm a Mormon, and it you know works for me. Take a look." Just trying to overcome some of that animosity, I think, that prevails in people still. But they say a significant increase. I'm curious what that is. I'm really, really curious what that increase is because they're spending a lot on this campaign. I hope it's working. I hope it's not like a 2% increase.
I hope we are effectively buying new converts. Yes.
If we can buy a few likes.
What is that noise?
It's called a telephone, Jeff.
I don't even know what that is.
Turn
it off.
Sorry. It's not a cell phone. I know you're used to those. This is the old school.
Wait a minute. You mean like it has a cord that goes into a wall?
No, I don't know. No, it's a wireless, of course, but it's still a phone.
Duh. I think that's all.
It was a great, great week. Yeah, we don't even need to talk about the football.
No. You missed your sporting chance.
I didn't like it that much. That's why I didn't talk about it.
Well, that's okay. You don't need to.
Anyway, I'm really sorry I'm late this week, people. Jeff especially.
You're not. How many times have we been through this?
If you were sorry,
you would correct your
behavior.
That is the essence of repentance.
I misspoke. I'm not actually sorry. I'm sorry. Well, I am remorseful that the show is coming to you so late, but I'm not sorry that I did what I did.
You refuse to treat me as your equal.
That's because I have more beard than you right now. And it makes me powerfuler. I wish you could see my beard at this very moment, Jeff.
I don't. I don't want to see your beard.
It's red and monstrous.
I'm sure it is.
Powerful.
I'm sure it is.
Like a Scotsman.
Yeah, but you're not Scottish.
I will go
Swedish.
I will throw a caber now. Thanks, everybody.
Go ahead.
Thanks for this great week.
Throw your caber. I don't care.
Let me play some bagpipes and drink barley things. All right.
Do you even know what they drink in Scotland?
I have no whiskey. I have no idea what they drink in Scotland.
Whiskey.
That's what they drink everywhere, isn't it?
I hate it when you sit here and try to school me about Scotland, because I forgot you're the one who lived there. You monster.
What do they do besides throwing cabers?
They have kilts, and they dance.
All right, I'll wear a kilt and I'll do a dance now, because my beard is better than yours.
Okay, that's fair. In that case, I give you the award.
All right. Have a great week, Jeff. Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us at thisweekinmormons.com, contact at thisweekinmormons.com, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons, or twitter.com/therealtwim.
We use all of them.
Actively.
Hello.
All right, we promise to be more timely next week. Actually, maybe and maybe not. It's 4th
of
July
weekend.
Well, it
is the 4th, so we'll probably be a little bit late.
But we love you. We love you people.
Yeah. All right.
All right, we'll see you.
Peace out, sir. Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to This Week in Mormons. We truly appreciate it. And, of course, give us your comments and feedback. And that's going to be all. I love you. Goodbye, Al. Goodbye, world. This has been This Week in Mormons. Ha ha.